What's up, everyone? Welcome to The Hours. I'm Mark, joined by Tyler. Tyler, excited to talk to you today. We meet all the time, obviously, but it's been a while since we've talked basketball, just me and you on The Hours. We just had Coach Crispin from Penn State on. Those were two awesome episodes. Really enjoyed those. The feedback has been phenomenal. So if you haven't listened to those, make sure to go back and check them out. Tyler, I've been watching a good amount of Summer League. I guess a guilty pleasure of mine would be I enjoy watching Summer League probably more than NBA basketball. I don't know if it's the shorter games.
Tell me why. You know why you enjoy watching Summer League more?
I don't know. I think the shorter games I like. I just think they got a better flow to them. Maybe it's like less TV timeouts. There's just something about them where I record them all. And my morning routine has been wake up, grab a cup of coffee, put on a Summer League game, and just start my day by watching and doing some work while they're on. I love it.
What's been one thing you've noticed, a trend, an observation, an opportunity for players or teams?
I think what I enjoy most about it, like my eye kind of goes to, is how much different they play than when they were on their college teams. Or I also like to see the second or third year players, like, you know, you got like Dalton Connect for the Lakers.
Yeah. They're just dominant.
Yeah, and it's always cool to see those second-year guys. Like, oh, man, I forgot about him. Like, you know, like I want to see how good he can be because he's like a budding star. And then another cool thing to watch, I know I mentioned this to you in a private conversation, but Spurs were playing someone else, and there was two players that I coached against playing against each other in the Summer League. So that's always really cool when you see like a local kid getting a shot and just see. But I think the thing that catches my eye the most is – you've got this like college brand of basketball, and then the pro brand is very different just because the spacing and the rules and all that just makes for a different game. But it seems like in a span of 3 months, it's like they're, I don't know, just the way they play just completely shifts. And there's probably a lesson in there of how much better you can be with better players around you. Like how much better are the first year players because they have second and third year guys that understand the spacing, they understand the rules better. And then their learning is just like, it, you know, amplifies so much because the environment that they're in.
Yeah, that's I was going to ask you as a follow up. Why do you think the way that individual players play can changes so drastically in 3 months? Obviously, what they're being asked to do system wise is different. That's a thing, but still, it's the same player that played a certain way for a much longer period of time. And then so quickly, all of a sudden, it looks completely different. So, I mean, I guess we identified two factors. One would be the system. The systems are different. Two, the players around them. They're going, most of these rookies are going from being the best player on their team to playing around some second and third year guys to not the best, maybe a handful of times, right? The quality of teammate is very different. You mentioned a third one, maybe, which is the rules are slightly different. I mean, even just the distance of the 3-point line, the shot clock, the rules are slightly different. Is there another reason why you think that, but I also notice like they're doing things skill set wise on the court that they either didn't show in the college game or didn't have, or yeah, I mean, it's 3 months and they're so different.
Yeah. And this is the first thing that popped in my mind, could be related to the rules too, is like the defensive 3 seconds, then you just have more space to attack. So you're maybe in more one-on-one or I guess isolation. I almost hate to say isolation because it's got a negative connotation to it, I guess. It's just everybody's like, oh, the NBA is just iso ball. But when you got the defensive 3-second rule, then it kind of lends towards that because you're gonna have more space at the rim. So maybe that is opening up like another level of their game. I also think a shorter clock, shot clock does that too. So shorter clock every time in a possession, it's like, we've got to make it work. And all right. Shout out to, let's do a shameless self plug here. Savvy Method. Okay. So I did a program clinic recently with a team in Florida and the coach wanted to work on rebounding, but we were installing some race and space stuff and some lock left stuff. And we were playing 5-on-5 and we weren't really scoring. And we were playing 5-on-5 to 5 by ones and twos, which we do often in Savvy because it amplifies the 3. But we weren't scoring. It took us forever to get the 5. And then I'm also, so I'm kind of thinking, okay, how can we get our players attacking more efficiently and looking to create more advantages faster. But also this coach over here brought us in to help his team rebound. So I just put an 11 second shot clock on both teams. We were playing in the full court. If they could not get a 9 or a 7 in 11 seconds, they threw it to me. I shot. So we were just getting a ton of offensive rebound, defensive rebound opportunities. So I thought all of a sudden they were just creating advantages, getting great shots. And I'm like wanting the ball so I could get a shot and work rebounding. And I'm like, well, this was great because they're creating advantages or getting better shots. So to bring that back, I think that has a lot to do with it too, is when they get across half court, there's 16 seconds where it's like, I've got to be really, really, focused or assertive. NBA coaches always talk about like playing with force. So I've got to play with force, create my advantage, create a good shot. So that probably has something to do with it.
Let's go back to your example. What changed? So we know that you made them play faster, but what did them playing faster produce that allowed them to get good shots where they couldn't before?
I don't know if I'm answering the question like what it produced, but my initial thought was like it directed their focus, right? Is that where that's where my mind went, is like all it did is like it directed our focus to, hey, the only goal of offense is to create a 9 or a 7, whether we make it or miss it, whatever. Obviously, like we want to score on every possession, but if we just get a 9 or a 7, to me, mission accomplished. And it just shifted their mindset of, all right, let's come down and run offense and work on the things that we were, training and working on throughout the weekend that I was working with this team, to no. Let's just create an advantage as fast as possible and get that shot. So, I guess what changed was just like their mindset. I guess more than anything, because they weren't better players just because I put an 11 second shot clock on them.
Right. Okay. I would agree with that. And let's go ahead and tie this into the savvy method. And so this is just a 4-step method that we use to help coaches be more savvy or have a deeper knowledge of the game to be more effective. And it's an acronym, SAVI. The S stands for simplicity, which is what you're seeing right here. We believe that simplicity wins. It's, you don't need a complex solution. You need to identify the thing that happens most and the thing that's going to get you the highest leverage. And then you need to hammer that much harder with intent and focus. So what happened with the simplicity of Mark just putting the time constraint with this team? They were not scoring. He said that they had to score within 11 seconds or else give up the ball for him to score and just go rebound. What happened? Well, here's 3 specific things when he talks about like intent and mindset that happen. And I saw it last night with our team as well, as I put a 7-second full court shot clock on him. 1, the aggression of the offensive ball handlers turned up. Instead of offense being let's play keep away or let's move the ball or let's run action, every player that had the ball all of a sudden put their head down and was more aggressive driving to the rim. Where a little bit of contact would have shallowed out their drive before, they were playing through the contact. Where a help side defender would have caused them to not even try to hunt, go and hunt a 9 being an open layup, they said, I'm going to try anyway. So that was 1. It turned up the aggression. The second thing that it turned up is off-ball players got a little bit more aggressive with their cuts, with their bolts, with their trying to get open and available, as opposed to being complacent, like, oh, we have time, I will relax. Off-ball players were also being aggressive and hunting. Here's the last thing that happened. Players were more shot ready. Instead of just saying, I'm going to catch the ball on the perimeter after my teammate has cracked the shell being the three-point line, they were actually hunting space outside the three-point line, saying, I got to get a shot up because there's 3 seconds left on the 7-second shot clock. So their shot prep, their confidence in their shooting, their commitment to the shot all turned up. So that would all fall under this savvy method of simplicity, right? We don't need to spend 2 years developing better shooters. We don't need to spend 2 weeks giving someone a dribble move. We don't need to spend 2 hours on one play in order to create a scoring opportunity. Simplicity wins. The more aggressive team usually is successful. How can we turn up that aggression level with a game-based constraint? Which leads us to the A in the savvy method, which is adversity. basketball is an invasion sport. There's an adversary, right? The defense is being the adversary of the offense. Well, whenever you actually use the defense to make the offense better, or the offense to make the defense better, or an opponent to make your rebounding better, guess what? It's going to be messy. It's going to be hard. When you introduce things in a games approach, as opposed to block and isolated drill where you're walking through things or doing, you know, scripted defensive shell, it's going to look a lot prettier. It just won't transfer to the game. We believe that adversity strengthens. The harder, the better, the messier, the more likely you're going to win. And that is a core savvy belief. We don't want to just get better at things that don't transfer to the game. Adversity strengthens. So how can we always make things challenging, appropriate challenge? The V, victory. We believe that victory should be defined, and it shouldn't just be the outcome of a game or the outcome of your record that season. If you just focus on what might give you short-term wins, putting in a baseline inbounds play for an hour in your practice so that you can score a little bit more in game one, but that doesn't prepare you to develop decision makers on the floor, every player, every skill, the ability to play fast and make decisions on the move. If you choose the win, scoring on Friday, versus the victory, developing players, you're putting a much lower ceiling on the development of your team and your program. So instead of focusing on the outcome, the win, we believe in process-based victories that we define that will allow us to be as good as our team could possibly be throughout the long journey of the season, the long journey of developing a program. Lastly, the I stands for identity. We are identity-based coaches, which means we are not transactional coaches. We are committed to being transformational coaches. A transactional coach would be, okay, player, I will give you playing time, or at the college level, I will give you NIL money for you to give me your efforts. I don't care about you as a person. I don't care about the relationship. It's what can you help me achieve as a coach, my record, my status, my credibility, and my career are more important than the individual player's development and the relationship. We don't believe that that is the identity who we are committed to being as coaches. We're committed to being transformational, to transform players on and off the court, to empower players. Coach Crispin talked about being a player's coach and what that means. And he talked about all the coaches he played for that were transactional, that were not a player's coach. And we believe in being player's coaches, where we empower players to play this fun game fast and with freedom and confidence. So that's the method that we continually examine the game through, the lens that we see the game through: simplicity, adversity, victory, identity. Mark, any anything you'd add to that?
Dude, talk about flow state. That was impressive, man. Nothing to add. I was like, I'm not going to interrupt. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this. That was awesome.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.